Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jake Woodhouse podcast. It is me doing a solo episode again today. And it's about a bunch of things that have been going on for me recently. But specifically, I'm looking at what is my preferred route of monetization in relation to my podcast. And I pump out episodes weekly, which is a blend of guests that I find interesting and want to learn from, slash also things that I'm learning and sharing along the way. And I absolutely started it because I knew that podcasting was something I wanted to do for a very, very long time. And frankly, it doesn't actually have to make any money for me. I could carry the costs, indefinitely. But being entrepreneurial and being interested in providing value to people, it's inevitable that I'm thinking about, okay, well, what might work best? How do I maximize my time? What is an interesting route to actually grow this thing? And if the goal is, an absolutely world-class podcast, which it is, what does that actually look like? And my strategy to begin with was pretty simple. It's like year one, and this was basically Q4 of 2024 that I'm thinking about all this stuff. It's like, okay, you just want to get some stuff out there as of January 2025. So I went through a process of thinking of names and all that kind of stuff and very much landed on the idea that I wanted to just do it around my own name because I felt that gave me the best flexibility in the future to do other things around that. Like what I'm interested in now is going to be different a year from now, different 5 years from now. And by keeping it in my own name, I'm able to rove whenever I want, frankly. I don't have a business partner. It's fully funded by myself. So I have complete control as to how the whole thing happens. And stage one was very simple, like year one, just focus on the content, focus on the content. But now we're in August, I'm really starting to think about year two, and year two was start thinking about revenue. And so there are lots of different ways of looking at this, and that's what I'm going to run through today as an initial strategy document I put together. Shout out to Daniel, aka B2C Gandalf, who came on my podcast earlier this year and has built a really interesting digital coaching business. And I really liked him. I thought his message was very clear. And personal brand is absolutely crucial to what I'm considering building over the next 10, 20 years. Why wouldn't I invest in making a better personal brand than what I've already got? And so we had our first coaching session last week. I delayed it for a number of months due to personal reasons and figuring out where we're going to live. And I still haven't sorted that out. So I was like, look, just get on with it, Jake, and see where it takes you. So nice one, Daniel. It's a great process to begin. And yeah, so I've been thinking, it's good. You have an hour with the coach and the coach gets you to think through all these different scenarios. And unsurprisingly, it turns out I've been thinking about all this stuff already. And I've had different ideas at different points in time, which I've never done anything about, or I've fleshed out to an extent, but never actually pursued or executed on. And that's what this is all pulling together. So let me share with you a document I've created. I should be able to switch to it now. So hopefully you can all see this. This is just a Google Doc that I built. And like all things these days, with the help of AI, one is more efficient. It's extraordinary. Now, if you've listened to recent episodes of mine, be careful with what the AI tells you. It's a prompt rather than a hardcore fact. But what it's very helpful at is just speeding up what would have been the web search process at the beginning. So the kind of primary research, like go out there. My question was quite simple. What are the 10 most popular revenue strategies for podcasts? And boom, out come 10 bullet points with a bunch of subcategories. And so I've been able to go through that and just jot down some of my initial instinct responses, also take into account the coaching I did with Daniel last week. So let me just run you through, like if you run a podcast, like how do you make money? So number one, and this is an obvious one, of course, because as a consumer of podcasts, you'll hear adverts on podcasts all the time. Now, if you're like me and a host does like 6-7 minutes of ad reads at the start of every episode, I am fast forwarding through that shit. So how useful are they remains to be seen. And one of the reasons that the buyer of these contracts protects themselves is they just need massive volume. They know people fast forward through the ads. So if they can get it to as many people as possible, then they're going to hope that that doesn't happen. And the revenue model is based on CPM. So they're looking at cost per thousand of impressions. And the truth is, for someone like myself that's still in the first year of creating content, my audience size is not very big. And that's okay. It will be in the future, absolutely. But right now, it's just not that interesting to an advert. Now, some notes I pointed down here, like for some reason, I feel like instinctively, if I start getting approached by brands, that's when I'm getting to a point at which advertising is actually useful. I could spend a lot of time now putting together some kind of marketing package and going out to brands and trying to sell advertising to them. But is it worth my time? And maybe I should just carry the cost for a second year and wait for the sponsors to come to me. One idea I had that's fun to share is like, I was going to create an episode, and I may do this anyway, which would cover, it would have Mike and Pat on the presentation as well with me. And we'd go through every single step as to what we're doing on the back end. So running through production, publishing, and then the promotion of the podcast. I think that would be a really fun thing for people just to see anyway, and look at all the tools that we use. I then had an idea. It's like, well, actually, if you're going to really provide value to a sponsor, go and just do it for them. So you might create that episode. You might go out and market it to a bunch of people. I'm looking for three sponsors who's interested. And you say, look, I'll give you the first 3 months for free. And with that, you're going to get boom, boom, boom. And I'm actually going to go and do it for them. And so as a podcast, I have different bits of digital real estate that I can leverage for exposure. So for example, you know, a social media profile has a bio. You could mention a company in your bio. I create content 3 episodes a week, give or take. And therefore, someone might be listening for 30 minutes, 60 minutes. And you could do an ad read in the middle. You could do an ad read at the start. You can have, you know, a banner in a video, for example. Or if you're posting a short, you might have a 60 or 90 second clip that goes out. And at the very last 10 seconds, you could just have a like a thumbnail with different sponsorship brand, you know, images on them, etc. So there's lots of different ways of doing this. One thing that came out of my coaching with Daniel, which was absolutely on point, is that when you start playing in this world of I'm selling exposure to brands, it's highly commoditized. So I'm not the size of these channels, but what Bitcoin did, TFTC, BTC Sessions, they're selling exposure at a certain cost per impression. How do I beat that, right? When your audience is very small. So people aren't buying from you, they're buying a thing. And this is really important when I get later down this. So will I consider doing adverts in the future? Yes, absolutely. I feel like it's better to wait till you've built up a bit of momentum such that companies are actually approaching you. I'd only really do it with businesses of products that I actually personally use. Because that just feels much nicer to me, to be honest. Like, I can recommend this because I personally use it. Number two, paid subscriptions. You'll see this popping up all over the place. Apple have now got one, Spotify, etc. Those platforms take a commission, which is quite lumpy, 30% in some cases. I've been talking just quietly with Fountain about the product they've rolled out on their service. I really like the look of it. I also really like the idea of Fountain, just generally speaking. And they could host all of my RSS feed backend, which is what then pumps out to iTunes, to Spotify, to Fountain themselves. Currently, I use Spotify for podcasters, which is free, but you know, you are the product. And I'd also much prefer to be aligned with a business that's got Nostr and Bitcoin baked in at the bottom. Caveat that with, sometimes I find it's a bit buggy and it doesn't really download episodes when I wanted to, or things go missing. And it's like, is that really a business that's reached a stage where you can truly trust it for the next 10 years to keep your shit? I don't know. That remains to be seen. Final point, like, A, is my audience side big enough? Why would I offer a paid subscription to them? But like selling a subscription for $5 a month, you got to sell a lot of those for it to start making any serious impact. There was one other thing I pointed out here, which is like, I think generally speaking, what I would like my content to be is almost like a top of funnel. So an audience member might find a short form clip and they might actually go, actually, I'm going to listen to a medium form clip. And then they've done 10, 15 minutes and then they might become a long form podcaster. Listener. And it's like a tiered process, like a customer journey. I'll run through it later. Point number three, affiliate marketing. Again, this is very popular. A simple one being like, okay, I use Trezor as a hardware wallet, or I use this exchange. Here's my name, you know, and you sign up and you put Jake in, and therefore you get a slightly cheaper fee to exchange your Bitcoin. Absolutely possible. Very easy for me to incorporate. Does it really move the needle at this stage? Possibly not. Again, audience size, like how many people, how much traffic are you actually directing anywhere? Fairly low, fairly small in my mind. a really easy one is like, how do I do a podcast kit? It's like, this is the microphone that I use. This is the software product that I use to do the editing, blah, blah, blah. And you can have Amazon links to microphones. Actually, they're like, you know, at $500 a pop, you probably don't get a bad bit of payback. Saying that, the best example I can think of at the moment is Costa with his business Minotaur Trading Systems, which I'm yet to fully get up and running because I'm playing around with how I'm going to actually get the funds to trade with. And I want to do a leverage trading position. So I'm going to put some Bitcoin up as collateral. And I've been going through the KYC process with a few different platforms and then reaching like red light moments and going, no, they're not the right partner. So I haven't done that yet. But, you know, a five-figure number for the licensing fee for the trading bot, that's a nice high-ticket item, which I'm sure Costa would be interested if he was to sell one in, you know, a revenue share of some form. So that's something I might definitely pursue. And it would be helpful at this stage, right? Because I have a small audience, but those small audience members are really interested in, okay, how do I grow my wealth? Oh, Jake's using this trading bot for a percentage of his portfolio. That's really interesting. Okay. And actually, you might get 5 or 10 people that go in that direction. Well, if you're making $5 on a microphone, kind of pointless. But when it's a five-figure number, actually, that becomes more interesting. Number four, listener donations, crowdfunding. We've all heard of platforms like Patreon. I touched on Fountain earlier. It's kind of similar, right? Where I see this going, this is all about Nosta. Zaps. Just zap me. If you see value, zap it. It's not a serious earner at this stage. It's a bit of a free hit, so it'd be quite good fun. And actually, really the best thing to do would be to incorporate some kind of call to action in every episode where I'm like, hey guys, if you haven't checked out Fountain, you should go to a native Nosta and Bitcoin podcasting platform. If you're there, you know, send me $5 as a zap. And it's funny, like I see this in my own day-to-day life where when someone asks me to do something, I actually do it. Oh, please donate. Do you know what? Why not? Bang, and it goes. And the same would apply here with zapping using Nosta. Point number five, merchandise sales. Okay, cool. So, you know, t-shirts, mugs, stickers. This is a very standard kind of podcast monetization strategy. It's not something I'm going to do initially because there's a physical element to it where you've got to fulfill those requirements, you know, sending a mug to someone, sending a t-shirt to someone. You'd have to, of course, design it all. Initial instinct is I would do a cap, mainly because I find finding good caps really hard. They're always the wrong size, and I've always wanted to start a cap business for some reason. So that would be quite good fun. But do you do it around my name, Jake Woodhouse? Or maybe you could use the flag that I have as my brand logo. I don't know. That would need a bunch of work. And again, would be pretty low volume to start with. Like, is that really going to move the needle? Something to consider later down the line, I reckon. Number six, live events and ticketed shows. Another very obvious podcast strategy. Because, you know, you build a digital audience. All right, guys, we're going to meet together in person at this place at this time. And I'm getting together, you know, the top five guests from all the episodes I produced in the last 12 months. You've got to pay me $100 to come and sit in the room. We'll do a Q&A. Really cool process, because then you make, you know, some personal connections in physical reality, which I think is a very important step, especially with the Bitcoin journey, right? It's like, I'm mad sitting at home thinking the world's going to shit, but then there's this thing, Bitcoin, that if you buy, everything gets better. Surely that's wrong. That's too good to be true. You go to a Bitcoin event and you just see optimism everywhere. You see people in better shape. You see people smiling and they're building stuff that actually works. And you're like, wow, this is epic. So live events for sure. One day I'd love to do one. At this stage, again, audience size is quite small. That's okay. Recognize where you're at. Don't stress about it. Perhaps I should be focusing more on, you know, spending time going to events that already exist. I've loved my experience doing MC stuff in the past. Shout out to the guys that do the Bitcoin Indonesia conference and also Bitcoin Alive in Sydney. Amazing experience doing those. Point number seven, content licensing and syndication. If I'm honest, I don't know a lot about this and how it works. AI is telling me that it's common for established podcasts. It's immediately not that useful for me. And so I'm like, whatever, not big enough yet. That's not an approach that I want to kind of follow up on. Number eight, podcast advertising networks. Again, not all that familiar with this. I'm pretty sure you'd need to have quite a lot of exposure in order to be valuable to these people. So that doesn't really work. They take a revenue cut. And then I also thought to myself, well, hang on, if you team up with an ad network, they're pooling together advertisers, but who are the people that are selling adverts? Like, who is your customer? Who's paying the bill? Are they actually going to be aligned? And this actually brings me back to a point I mentioned earlier that I forgot to say, which is around advertising partners. Like, with the best will in the world, if you take money from a shitcoin casino, you know, are people getting on there and then going and buying altcoins instead of buying Bitcoin? For sure. What if you get involved in some kind of yield platform that takes a bunch of people's Bitcoin, promises them 11%, and then goes bankrupt and basically steals all the Bitcoin? Like, the you don't control the actions of the brand partner that you team up with. And that counterparty risk from a reputation perspective is something that I think is it's really undervalued. And given I don't have to monetize right now, I value that. Like, I don't want to team up with an advertising partner that's actually going to go and behave poorly and screw over an audience member of mine. Like, that's a complete waste of time for me. And just the integrity behind it. It's like, I'm not gonna just sign up with the customer that's going to pay me the most money and not care about what that might mean for an audience member and their ability to grow wealth and improve their life over time. And not to like shit on other Bitcoin podcasters, but in my mind, there are two or three people I know of that took money from people that they knew better and they shouldn't have done it. They did. That's on them. Not a game I want to get involved in. Number 9, premium content and membership tiers. I mean, this is so similar to number 2, subscriptions, but the additional angle being the community side of things. And actually, this is maybe where I will do a shout out, like, to those of you that are following along on this journey and interested in the information that I discuss. Would some kind of community hub be useful? Reach out hi@jakewoodhouse.io and just let me know if it's something you're like, oh, that would be so cool. You know, it could be very easily myself, Pat, Mike, me and my team in a group somewhere with we could do it public group, or we could have, you know, by invite only. Maybe you pay a monthly subscription. You can ask as many questions as you like. That to me is that's adding immediate value to an audience member, which I really like. And equally, I can police it to some extent, in that what happens in the group or in the community is under my control. And if I suddenly get someone turn up who's, you know, shilling fake ASICs or something, you know, out you go. Or someone who's like, buy my coin, out you go. But it might be a really meaningful way of making improved friendships, which has already happened for me this year. James Kintour springs to mind. Shout out to James. We've started sharing all sorts of like more private and important information with each other. And we did meet briefly in person at a conference, but the power of content is so strong to build better friendships and build better networks. And that's very, very cool. And I'm absolutely interested in doing that. And so point 10, if you remember, I asked for the 10 most popular strategies. This was actually point 8, but it was more fun to bring it down to the last, because this is the one that feels right. This is the one that I'm going to pursue. So, selling digital products or services. And in my conversation with Daniel last week, this is where it ended, in that I got really pumped about a bunch of ideas I previously had and I just hadn't ever actioned them. And this is the way that I'm going to actually do it. So, what digital products and services are we talking about here? That remains to be seen. I haven't actually built this yet. There will be lots of iteration and a lot of work still to go into this. But outside of my duties as a dad and as a husband, I create my podcast and I'm investing. I'm looking for ways to increase my net wealth. I don't have hundreds of hours in the day to go and build a business that requires my time to actually fulfill the operations. So what kind of digital product or service I offer, I hope to A, blend into my life seamlessly such that it doesn't irritate me and it doesn't take away from other areas of my life that I want to focus on, but equally can deliver huge value for the person, the customer that comes along and gets involved. And where I'm at is, I think I'm going to build a course. And the course, well, let me just read through some of this. Some of the names I was throwing around, it's like, you know, sack your financial advisor, solve the money problem, or the sovereign stack. a price that I really like the idea of, and this is coming into more like an Eastern philosophy, and Jason Park, shout out to Jason for his mentoring, energetics thing, like numbers are important, and 4444 will be the price tag, which is getting into the higher end of high ticket sales online. And for that, you've got to deliver extraordinary value. Don't get me wrong. But I'm very, very confident I can do that. Now, the spark for the idea is I was involved in the Bitcoin Mentor. Shout out to Dale building the Australian arm of that, and Mike and Ben in Canada. And when I was within that business, I had quite a strong vision for a very high ticket program that would be focused on people that were sitting on a net asset pile that was very valuable, but largely still in the traditional market and hadn't yet allocated to Bitcoin. And they're like, fuck, how do I do that? And they can see all the problems. They can see the money printing. They can see the purchasing power declining. They can see their lack of autonomy because they have to trust some kind of financial advisor to action trades for them or turn up once a year with a report that says, yep, look, this is how well we did for you this year. And they then fudge the numbers in their favor. It's like, you can sack your financial advisor today if you do this course. And if you do this course, I'm 4 or 5 years down the line, and some of the investments I've made with the best risk reward in the world are 4, 5, 6x the money. And anyone can do this. And here you start batting in a territory where it's like you're buying from me because I've done this myself. And as a coach or a mentor, I can simply guide people through what worked for me and what didn't work. Like, don't waste your time doing that. That's not worth it. And this gets me fired up. I'm like, oh my God. Because I was 20, my dad died. Fuck, what do? I had an inheritance. And actually, I could even go as niche as that. So I think that in general, there's three different pools for online products that you can sell: wealth, health, and relationships. And I would obviously fall into the wealth category. And within that is then investing. And within then that is then like a subcategory of crypto, and then a subcategory of Bitcoin only. And then actually you could then focus on someone specifically who has an inheritance. And they might, like someone who's built and sold a business, they are absolute experts in their niche and likely have other opportunities to double down in the area that they're very, very good at. But if someone is a teacher or someone has been in the army, or someone is, a nurse and a parent or an auntie or an uncle or a sibling has passed away, like heaven forbid, of course, there's an emotional side to this that is not obvious. And absolutely, I've been through. But then there's also the process of like, they're not money managers. They're not entrepreneurs. They have a very specific skill set for an employment contract. But how do you manage money? It's a whole new world. So that's a very high level, like, I know the problem inside out and I've solved it for myself. Could I productize that? And so one thing that Daniel and I were walking through, you'll see here, you've got DIY, DWY, and DFY. Now, what the hell does that mean? Do it yourself, done with you, done for you. And these are essentially different categories of product that you can offer. And DIY is the cheapest. Like, obviously, if I write a book, here's what I would do. You read the book, it costs you $10 to buy it. But then you have to do absolutely everything. Another tier to that would be a course, and it could be a 10, 20, 100 hour long video tutorial course running through all the stuff that you'd need to know to manage your inheritance as effectively as possible. At the end of it, you'll see outrageous returns on your money and you can sack your financial advisor, but you're still having to do it all yourself. Now, done with you is probably more like a course, but then either weekly group calls, or equally maybe weekly one-on-one calls. Like, I have yet to figure all this out. I think I'm leaning towards the idea that I could carve out some time each week to manage like a handful of clients one-on-one. And I think that's where the real magic happens, because I would make a lot of great friends through this, because I know for sure that if they listen to what I'm teaching, they can create an incredible life for themselves. And that's when the fun bit really starts to happen. As I come down here, like, yeah, I mentioned earlier the idea of a customer journey. It's like, okay, you bump into my content somewhere online, some short form clip of me or a guest banging on about whatever it is. And shout out to Pat, he's really improving at the short form clip creation with the B-roll footage on the back, with the text on top as subtitles, with the music. And it's a case of like choosing the right clips to pump out. But then they're like, oh, let me listen to a medium form you know, 8-minuter. And then it's like, actually, I'm going to listen to a whole episode. And then become a regular long-form listener. And then it's like, actually, I'm going to buy Jake's book. Oh, do you know what? I'm going to buy the course because I need to know more about what he's talking about. So eventually, it's like, actually, I'm going to go for the full whole hog high-ticket coaching program. And after that, and this is where I've just taken Daniel's coaching to a whole nother level and stuff I was already thinking about. It's like, I'm a Bitcoin maximalist. I therefore look at the world in a very specific way, such that you have a hurdle rate of Bitcoin. So if I don't sit in Bitcoin self-custody, my capital's got to go into something that has the ability to outpace Bitcoin at a risk level that isn't outrageous. And so basically you're looking at moonshots. Like, how do you make a good moonshot? Well, great information, great deal flow, extraordinary talent, working on really interesting ideas. And you do that through venture investing. And so I could create an angel syndicate, for example, where it's like, all right, we're a group of highly motivated angels. We've been through this process to Bitcoin maximalism. We've done an incredible job of growing our purchasing power. And now we're looking for a very specific type of investment that will sit alongside our existing Bitcoin in self-custody, looking to grow our wealth even further. And to me, that's really, really exciting because I will have already taken someone to a point where their life is radically improved. And then they will inevitably be like, well, of course I'd like to invest alongside Jake. And I create co-investors. Now, another way of doing it would be a fund. So you could have some kind of venture fund. It's an idea, right? Is that worth it? I don't know. Where would you actually have the fund domiciled? I don't know. And that could all be worked out much later down the line. But at my final point is the journey is designed to unfold over multiple years as they get richer from their own decisions. This is just information. You receive the information, the action consequent to the information, that's on you. You know, I have one friend that I helped move their super, so their Australian pension, in January of 2024. Out of a Vanguard index tracker, six-figure sum into Bitcoin, and that is now absolutely flown in the last 18 months. And what a fucking legend. I didn't do that. They did that. I just helped them on the way. And so that already was an example where they actually paid me value for value. I didn't ask for a fee, and at the end, they paid me an amount. I'm basically building off of that experience where I can productize this better. And what you're really doing is you're creating tiers that are different cost or different price for access to me. And my time is getting more and more valuable. So as my wealth grows, I need to do less stuff to create more wealth because my purchasing power is increasing. But that also means like I'm not just gonna take a random phone call trying to sign you up for a 1-hour consult. Like no way, absolutely no way am I doing that. But what I would do is build a system by which I'm generating constant content. That content drives attention to a suite of products and services that are aligned with myself and aligned with the audience. And you can start to see how this, you know, maybe I build this over the next 4, 5, 10 years. In 10 years' time, I won't even be 50. And I will have built this incredible community of people that are all focused on building stuff similar to what I'm interested in and bringing opportunities to me every day to actually increase my asset allocation or increase my net wealth or improve my life. And you're like, whoa, this starts to get really cool. And hence, like point number 10 in this process is way, way more exciting than trying to sign up a sponsor to pay me monthly for, you know, some exposure. It's like I then become the guy that's trying to game YouTube to increase exposure. No. If I create a product or a service, I become the guy that has to focus on creating so much value for my audience that they then go and pay me thousands of dollars for it. And it's like I get paid, but I would also, in terms of my own skill set, really start to benefit. And some final notes, like obviously diversification is key. Diversification is key. So as I grow this or as I build this, I would like to have it such that I create multiple streams of revenue. So, you know, let's say in 10 years time, the vision is you have a hyperactive angel syndicate with a fairly small, probably, but like highly competent group of people where you're the smart money and you share deal flow with each other. And you always can pretty much rely on the fact that someone within the community has a deep domain expertise to due diligence of business. So when someone applies for money from the syndicate, you've got one person there that's a domain expert that immediately says this is a waste of time, or this is brilliant, and I can introduce them to the market leading person that goes da-da-da-da. And suddenly you're connecting the startup with, you know, potential customers or potential later stage investors, you name it. But at the same time as that, you could sell sponsorship. At the same time as that, you could do an annual event. At the same time as that, you could have a community of people that are learning from all of those experts that are paying to be there just to soak up the information. That was one thing about my experience with Bitcoin Mentor that was absolutely outstanding as a mentor, was joining the weekly mentor sessions. And the caliber of talent in those conversations was extraordinarily high. And I learned so much. So shout out to those guys. Hugely beneficial experience for me, and really got me back on the bandwagon of, like, podcasting is my thing. That's what I'm going to do first and foremost. And a shout out for Mike in particular for making that happen. Audience size matters. Obvious one. Really obvious one. Like, if you're creating lots and lots of attention online, it's much, much easier to sell that attention to someone for more money. Fairly obvious. And therefore, I'm just too early for that, and that's okay. Now, finally here, I've got niche relevance. And it's like, okay, maybe I need to think a bit more about, like, what niche am I in? I've heard this described in the past as, like, niching down. And from a marketing and sales perspective, like, when you sell to everyone, you sell to no one. And so you actually want to be very, very specific as to who your audience member is. And this is when people start to break it down and more along the lines, like, okay, you have an avatar. It's like, all right, the ideal person I'm going after is 45 years old, they're male, they are a white collar worker, they're already doing long hours each week, creating good income, they have the highest disposable income, blah, 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 blah. Now, the problem with this process that I don't like is my approach for the podcast, at the very least, it's about what I find interesting. If I start creating content for that avatar, I'm not doing it for me. And I reckon what happens over time is the people that try the approach of I'm creating for this person, they run out of gas. They lose interest. They're like, oh, do you know what? I'm so fed up making content for this avatar. I'm done. Whereas if I keep it specifically around who I am and what I'm interested in, then inevitably I am already a niche of a niche of a niche. You know, I'm me. Like, I'm no one else. And there are some people out there that find me extraordinarily triggering. Even in my own life, people find me triggering. It's like, oh, you know, I'm not going to be everyone's cup of tea, and that's okay. But for some people, they'll be like, oh, this guy's talking about some shit that I really want to get involved in. And they reach out, and I'm already feeling that. So when you get yourself within this niche of niche of niche, then you get to something called the blue ocean. And at least I think that's what it's called, the blue ocean. I maybe I have to double check that, excuse me. But the concept's quite simple. It's like, basically you get to a point where there's no competition. And when there's no competition, the prices you can charge and the value that you can deliver, to some degree, you as the entrepreneur dictate that. And that's where you start to really see good margins as a business. Whereas when you're in that, like, hyper commoditized space of, like, okay, I sell this many clicks. Well, actually someone could go and buy clicks from someone else. And it's much more difficult to create a really successful business. All right. And that takes me to the end of my presentation today. It's a slow burn. So we're still year one, right? We're August of 2025. I never had any intention to monetize before now, or before, let's say, January of 2026. So my intention is to work on this in the background and to start getting a feel for, like, what is going to be the best fit. And the coaching I'm going to get from Daniel over the next 3 months will really help, because I've got a sounding board, someone who's a couple of steps ahead of me, yes, in a different niche, yes, using different tech platforms, yes, doing different things. But equally, like, when you're a solo entrepreneur like myself, of course, Michael and Pat, shout out to them, absolute legends helping me produce the podcast. But I need additional skills, additional expertise to get me to certain steps. And I mean, to quote Daniel, he's super bullish on selling coaching because people need help. And the feedback loop, the ROI, is extraordinarily quick, and you just save yourself so much time. And so I need to get better at that. And this is what that's also about. So very, very excited. I always, you know, say the same thing. If you're an audience member and you're interested in what I'm teaching or talking about, please reach out hi@jakewoodhouse.io as my email. Send us a couple of zaps on Nostr, because that's always an absolute fave. And let's help grow this thing together, in a sense. Like, how can I help you? And the course that I go and create, it can't just be my vision. like, I need market feedback. Like, what do people actually want and what do they need? And that only happens through iterating on a product. So I will start to build that. Just really, really super excited about where I've got with this project. So thanks so much, guys. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Reach out if you've got any questions.